Good morning. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. It's a joy to be worshiping with you on this Sunday morning or whenever that you've tuned in for worship. We've reached the end of the flyover journey through the 66 books in our Bibles to understand the one unified story that it is. God creates everything good, but sin, evil, and suffering gain a foothold in the fall. God calls together a people, Israel, blessed to be a blessing to all nations, but they struggle and they fail many times to follow God's lead. Then, plot twist, God the Creator steps into our story in Jesus, putting sin and evil and suffering on the path to destruction. Jesus departs and the Holy Spirit arrives, giving birth to the church, the people you and me called to be walking temples, where people can experience God's presence in normal, everyday lives just by interacting with you and me. Today, the final movement in our story, new creation, the place where sin, evil, and suffering are destroyed and gone forever. Forever. Let's get a glimpse of new creation in the book of Revelation, the final book in your Bibles. Now, the word most associated with the book of Revelation is apocalypse. We've absorbed that word through pop culture, and we think world destruction, nations and cities change forever, if not wiped out of existence completely. Apocalypse does not carry nice, warm, fuzzy feelings with it. We would very much prefer to avoid it. Yet that's not what the Bible means when it says apocalypse. Literally, it means the unveiling, the revealing, seeing things differently than you saw them before. The book of Revelation is more accurately titled The Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. It is pulling back the curtain to see what's next, to see what God's going to do next in your life, in the world. It's like pulling back the curtain on the Wizard of Oz. Watch this.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
If you are really great and powerful, you'd keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh,
the great Oz has spoken.
Oh,
pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
He would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for those meddling kids and their dog. Apocalypse is pulling back the curtain to revealing something unseen. It struck me that Dorothy wants Oz to keep his promises if he's so great. And you know what our God does? Our God does not hide behind a curtain, but came to earth in Jesus, walked among us, and now pulls back that curtain to reveal and unveil what's next. Friends, apocalypse is not something to be avoided, but the unveiling of what God is doing next. We've had unveilings and apocalypses in our own lives. We see things differently than we did before because of an encounter with God, an encounter with the Holy Spirit. When we finally surrender our lives to Jesus, when we say, yes, Jesus is indeed my Lord and Savior, there's an unveiling. There's an apocalypse in our own lives. We now understand that God has our best interests at heart, that God is not some distant deity who treats us like ants on an anthill with a magnifying glass, but is one who loved us so much, came in human form in Jesus, to die and to rise again for our sin and to repair broken relationships and a broken creation. We see people, we see the world, we see ourselves differently because of the decision to say, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord, I surrender to you. That's an apocalypse in our own lives. Let's take a look at the apocalypse, the unveiling, the revelation at the end of our Bibles. Let's look behind the curtain of new creation of what's next. This is Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne, saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. There's no blockbuster movie destruction, yet it is a world-changing event. It's the end of the world as we knew it, and everything is okay. In fact, it's better than okay. It is the world and us completely restored. Frankly, the 90s band REM had it right when they sang about it. Watch this.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Wow, was that a 90s music video? I have so many questions, but we're going to stay on target. Who feels fine about the end of the world? Isn't that the end of everything? It's not. That's what the scripture just showed us. At the end, heaven comes to earth as we pray every single time we pray in the Lord's Prayer. It finally comes to pass. Apocalypse is not the end. As a matter of fact, it's the beginning of what the world, what the universe was supposed to be in the first place. It's the end of the world as we knew it. And those who understand what biblical apocalypse is should feel just fine. It's taken us 6 movements, but we are finally back to the beginning, back to creation like it was meant to be. God walking among us, humans, just as God was walking with humans in the garden, walking and talking together. The passage describes heaven coming down to earth like a city. Now, when we think of a city, we picture huge, tall skyscrapers with glass and steel and concrete. In the first century, when this was written, a city was nothing more than a collection of people with gardens, gardens after gardens after gardens. That means your Bible is bookmarked by one garden where God walked with humanity to a city of multiple gardens where God will walk with humanity again. Now, when we tend to think of new creation, of heaven, we think about up and away from here. That's only partly true. The Bible speaks about essentially 2 resurrections after death. Yes, when we die, for all of those who follow Jesus, we go to paradise. We go to heaven, but we're disconnected from our bodies for a time in some kind of spiritual state. Then at some point in the future, our passage occurs. We are reunited with resurrection bodies, much like Jesus had after the resurrection, and spend eternity here in the new creation, in the new heavens and earth, where there will be no more suffering or pain or death ever again. It's what the Apostles' Creed means when we confess together, I believe in the resurrection of the body, not just the soul going to heaven, but a physical body. Now, frankly, our view of heaven and new creation, they are much more influenced by what we see in art and pop culture than what we actually read in our Bibles. We picture heaven as people sitting in clouds all day, maybe angels looking with harps and weird baby angel things. And we ask questions like, what will I do all day? Will new creation be boring? Will I recognize my loved ones? Will my dog, cat, bearded dragon, favorite pet be there? We've got no shortage of questions about what's next. But here, new creation is depicted as a city where gardens exist, where homes exist, where there is stuff to do, where there is work to be done. There is meaning and purpose behind whatever our existence will look like next. Yes, I do think you will recognize your loved ones. We are still us in the new creation. I don't think you're going to be bored. I don't know if your favorite pet will be there, but being a dog person, I would love that. I'm less excited about having cats, but I deal. And our Bibles speak of the new creation as already and not yet. It has both already come into our world and not yet arrived in full. We know this. There's still crying and suffering and pain and death. Yet there are also stories of hope and healing and forgiveness and reconciliation in Jesus. So in another sense, new creation is already here. New creation began the day Jesus sat up after 3 days dead in a borrowed tomb and wiped the sleep away from his eyes. New creation began right there. New creation in the Bible is this, What God did for Jesus in 3 days, raising him from the dead, God has already started to do for us and will complete in us as well. Paul, the first century church planter and missionary, says, well, we were dead in our sins, our wrongdoings. God still made us alive in Christ. God makes us immediately spiritually alive in Jesus through his resurrection. We were walking corpses, and God made us alive in Christ. The good news is that our spiritual renewal, it has implications for the physical world as well. Salvation isn't just about our souls going to heaven when we die, but the entire world being redeemed. God's ultimate plan is not to get your soul into heaven. If you've said yes to Jesus, your salvation is secure, but that's not where the Bible ends. That's not what our passage from Revelation is talking about. God's final salvation is restoring the entire universe to a whole state. It involves a bodily resurrection, just like Jesus's, and aspects of that have already begun. Paul notes in another passage, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. If you've heard that passage before, it's probably a different translation. Many times it's simply, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Well, that's true. It misses the wider impact of Christ's victory on the cross. A literal translation is more like, if anyone is in Messiah, new creation. That means salvation is not just about what God wants to do for you as an individual, though that's absolutely a part of it. Salvation is also about what God wants to do for the entire world. That's the hope of the gospel. We should look into the mirror each day and say, it's not all about you. It's not all about you. It is not all about you. It's an entirely reborn universe rising from the ashes of a fallen world, or in the imagery from our passage, a coming down from heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. New creation began when the lungs of Jesus first took their breath in a borrowed tomb. And new creation continues with us. It continues when we take our first breath of the Holy Spirit, when we say, yes, Jesus, you're my Lord. But there's still another step to come. New creation waits for the future. We're in the church movement in our story right now, but we're waiting for that final movement. It's already begun, but not yet fully here. We know this so well. The world is still fallen. It is present everywhere. There is sin and evil and suffering and death. If God's new creation has begun, then why doesn't it seem like it? God's people have been asking this question for centuries. The best answer might be this. At the moment, God's kingdom is largely undercover, and it breaks into our world from time to time. We see it when a church family stays together. In the midst of divisive times, of a pandemic, when everyone is incredibly stressed and just wants normal to come back right now. In a married couple that chooses the path of forgiveness when they just want to throw in the towel. Or a business person who chooses to use his or her wealth for something more than themselves. That's new creation. New creation breaks into our world whenever acts like these occur. But we are waiting. We're waiting for God for the final downbeat, the final bow to bring it about in full. We still need rescue. And the hope of God's last movement is that rescue is coming. Jesus will return. We say that in the Apostles' Creed too. Jesus will come again. The scriptures promise it over and over. But this time he's coming to stay, to make this place what it was in the beginning. Walking with God with no pain or suffering or death. The story of the Bible is that Jesus will come down into the heart of our beautiful mess and make known his victory over evil, sin, and suffering. Then new creation will come in full. And when it does, our world, our universe will be transformed, renewed to what it was supposed to be. It is the end of the world as we knew it, and it will be just fine. Everything restored in new creation. No conflict in new creation. All of our conflict swallowed up in joy and love. Joshua McNall, the author of the long story short book for this series, he notes, that's probably why we cry at movies. At the birth of children, of soldiers coming home from war because we are waiting for the day when all of our conflict will be swallowed up in joy and love. We are waiting for that day every tear will be wiped away. When this happens, a great story will appear. Far from being bored in new creation, we will spend our days striving to get closer to someone who took the universal ache away. All of our conflict and pain and suffering swallowed up in joy. We're going to want to thank this someone, fall at his feet, and spend eons wrapped in the mystery of redemption. One day, every conflict will be swallowed up in love. Maybe that's where every earthly joy comes from. Maybe the reason we love anything in this world is that it carries but an echo of the world to come. Morning is coming. We ache to see the light. We see the glimmer of new creation in the face of a child, the music of our favorite song, or in the story of our favorite movie. And we know new creation is coming. There is a new story breaking in. We're invited to be a part of what God is unveiling, with people acting justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with God. Won't you join me? Let's pray together. Loving God, our souls long for the day. There will be no more pain or suffering or death again. As we wait for the final curtain call, help us to be the people who act justly, who love mercy, who walk humbly with you in all that we do. May we show people in our actions and in our words that yes, that day when all conflict is swallowed up in joy and in love, it is coming. It is certain. It will happen. Now we confess together with Christians for the past 2,000 years that new creation started in your Son, in Jesus. It's on its way. It cannot be stopped. Let us say it together, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now we'll receive God's tithes, your gifts, and your offerings. Thank you so much for your continued extravagant generosity as we navigate being a community of impact in this continuing pandemic season. I've been so impressed that you continue to serve. Recently, Becky and Kayla handed out 40 lunches at Dorothy Moses Elementary School through the Summer Hunger Program. They said it was super easy and fun, and you all filled up all of the open spots that we had. Amazing. As we receive the offering today, you can give online, on the website, via the app, or by dropping a check at the church or in the mail. Now let us sing our closing song together.